Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. We're going to talk about the structure of the kingdom of God and this whole idea of consecration and the liberty where Christ has set us free. And the fact is that most of the Christians who think that Christ has set them free, they're just the modern Christians, and Christ hasn't set them free. As a matter of fact, they're back in the bondage, entangled again in the elements of the world, and are not doing what the first century church did. They're actually doing what the first century Pharisees were doing. The first century Pharisees were absolutely destroyed, just devastated. Jerusalem was conquered, crushed. And Christians came out of there singing. And they went and did something else. Now, there's a lot of people talk about, this is supposed to be the holiday seasons, the Christmas seasons, and everybody is, debating, should we say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays and things like that. You hear that mulling around, and what we really want to know is, are there any real Christians out there? I mean, you can get worked up about the fact that people don't say this or say that. And we can certainly see a division coming where, prayer is not allowed in the school unless you do it on a prayer rug and you're a Muslim. And you get to do it, you know. I mean, we're not supposed to say anything that might offend one religion, but people are offending Christianity all the time, or what is posing as Christianity. And Christians are getting all worked up about it, or what is posing as Christians are getting all worked up about it. The fact is, when I look at what the first century church was doing, which most Christians are completely unaware of, I don't see modern Christians doing it. I see them completely asleep. Now, the question is, how can you tell that this is a Christian who's asleep, or this is a non-Christian who is actually doing what he wants to do, like the Pharisees? I mean, the Pharisees said they saw, but Christ said they didn't. They said they believed in Moses, but Christ said they didn't. They said they were preaching what Moses was preaching, but Christ said they didn't. As a matter of fact, they were claiming to be preaching the Word of God, and Jesus said that they were making the Word of God to none effect by their traditions, by their system, by what they were doing. I mean, the word tradition, doctrines, we think of it as religious, but that their religion was running the government. Their government was a religious government. But then most people today don't even know what religion means. Religion was how you take care of the needy of society, and their Corban meaning sacrifice, was how they took care of the needy of society. But their Corban was making the Word of God to none effect. Why was their Corban making the Word of God to none effect? It was causing the people to do no more ought for their parents. They didn't take care of their parents like they were supposed to, so that their days would be long upon their land, honor them, feed them, take care of them, nurse them. They weren't doing that. They would say, no, you go to the temple. But the temple was a government building. What were they doing in Corban, in their sacrifice that was taking care of the needy of their society? How was that making the Word of God to none effect? They didn't say they weren't taking care of their parents. They just weren't doing it. They were requiring that the government take care of their parents. Well, how can they require the government? Where's the government going to get the money? Well, the government's going to force the people to sacrifice Corban meaning sacrifice. You had to pay in. You know, they talk about not attending to the weightier matters, and they mention cummins. You know, this spice. People grew that in their windowsills and in, little patches, and it was very valuable. And the Pharisees got to go. The tax collector got to go and take off 20 branches for every 100. Wow. Because they could tax that. They could force the people to give them what they needed to provide the welfare of the people. And that was making the Word of God to none effect. You know any countries that force the people to contribute to the welfare of the needy of society? Do you know any governments anywhere in the world that force the people to contribute to funds that are held in government buildings to take care of the needy of society? Because religion was defined as how you provide for the needy of society, unspotted by the world. And when James says that, unspotted, pure religion, unspotted by the world, he uses a word that is defined in the concordance as constitutional order or system of government. Is how you take care of the needy of your Christian society spotted by the constitutional order or system of government? In other words, is any of it by force? Because see, John the Baptist came along and said, no, you don't do this by force. Until John the Baptist, just about everybody at that time in the world was thinking that it's okay to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. Rome was doing it. Judea was doing it. They started it really hot and heavy under Herod the Great. They had this grand scheme of a social welfare system. He didn't just do it through the temple in Jerusalem. He built Roman temples. Temple of Roma, he built it. And if you didn't like to, you know, mingle with Jews, you could go over to the Temple of Roma and sign up for their social welfare system provided by the sacrifice, the Corban of the people, except for the fact once you signed up, you had to pay in. Of course, once you have to pay in, you don't have the power anymore. You don't have the right to choose. You don't have the exousia. You don't have the liberty. Originally, you had the liberty. That was the higher liberty, your higher right to choose to take care of the needy of your society. And in America, we did that. For 100 years and more, we took care of the needy of society. Most children were educated in private education or at home. And we had the most literate society in the world. And then somebody said, oh, let's have the government do it. And in 1910, we began to shift from almost a totally private educational system to almost a totally public educational system. Even the private schools used the public books. It's amazing. We shifted, and it's changed our society. We suddenly said it's okay to force your neighbor to provide for your welfare if it has to do with public education. It's okay to force your neighbor to provide for the welfare of your parents as long as you do it through Social Security. It's okay to force your neighbor to provide for your health care as long as you do it through government. But it was not okay with Christ. It was not okay in the Old Testament. Because that's coveting your neighbor's goods. And it doesn't really matter if you do it through the agency of a government who exercises authority one over the other. It's still coveting. In Judges 5:12 it says, awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake. 4 times, awake. Utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. What does that mean? Barak? It has the word Barak in there? Well, I'm not going to tell you what it means, because you ain't awake yet. And you need to wake up. You really need to wake up bad. And I don't know. Can you wake up? You know, what were the verses before that? My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly amongst the people. Bless ye the Lord. What's the verse? 2 verses before that? Verse 8. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? You're going to have to register your spears and shields, by the way. My heart is toward the governors of Israel. Wow. That offered themselves willingly amongst the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water. Drawing water. Remember the word mem? The letter mem always has to do with flow. Charity should flow. Love should flow. There shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. And that's where she begins. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake. But will you awake? Will you follow the ways of God, or have you followed the ways of choosing other gods, small g gods? What's up, folks? Why are you again entangled in the elements of the Corbin of the world that makes the word of God to none effect? How can you tell me you are Christians? You have slumbered long enough. Psalm 78:65. Then the Lord awakened as one out of a sleep, and like a mighty man that shouteth by reason of wine. So what is that really all about? Should we go back to Psalm 78:60 and read that? So that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh. What's that? Shiloh, the tent which he placed amongst men. That temple has to do with rest and peace. Shem, Ahmad, hey. Is that how you provide for the needy of your society through free will offerings? I mean, that's what they talked about in the Old Testament. Charity is certainly, they never mention the word charity, but they do mention the word free will offerings all the time. If you don't take care of the needy of your society by free will offerings, but choose rather to do it by force, you've abandoned the ways of Christ, you've abandoned the ways of Moses, you've abandoned the ways of Abraham, and you're going to go the ways of destruction. The tent which he placed amongst you is empty and abandoned, and you want to be free? Don't count on it. It goes on to say, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hands. He gave his people over also unto the sword, and was wroth with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men. Their maidens were not given to marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Proverbs 6:22, then thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. You know, there's a lot of talk about this idea of awakening. You see it in New Age stuff. I think Star Wars is even, the latest Star Wars, isn't it called The Awakening or something? I haven't seen it yet, but and maybe I never will. I guess I don't usually go to theaters, but there aren't any within 100 miles of me anyway. So, but awakening, that's really important. Just the other day, there were people here and they were talking, and suddenly I became extremely drowsy. I had to do what I call a power nap. I mean, just came on me. I just got drowsy. I was in a chair that could fold back, and right there in the midst of where people were talking, I rolled it back, closed my eyes, and I was out. And all of a sudden I woke up, I don't know how much time had passed, and someone who had been standing in front of me, my youngest son, was gone. He wasn't standing there. It was like I blinked my eyes, and when I opened them again, he was gone. And I looked around and saw most everybody else was in the same place. Grandkids had all moved around. So I don't know how much time had elapsed, but I heard a voice upstairs. I couldn't tell whose it was, really, and I asked where my son was. And who's he talking to? And he's on the phone. And within less than a minute, just seconds, all of a sudden he walks down the stairs and appears at the bottom of the stairs. And I said, "So where is he stuck?" And evidently my other son had gotten stuck in snow and run off the road. And I didn't even know he was coming home. Last I talked to him, he didn't think he was going to come home. He's working down in California. He didn't think he had enough time, and he was working every day. And but suddenly at the last minute, without telling us, he started on his way home. And anyway, when I woke up, when I saw my other son step down out of the stair, I had this image in my head of a vehicle stuck in the snow in front of a tree, a green tree. I mean, it was down a hill on the left-hand side of the road facing this tree. And that's when I said, "So where is he stuck?" You know, and evidently he was off the road just north of Silver Lake. And when they got home, he went and he pulled them out. Fortunately, just he couldn't pull them out with his truck because he was way down the steep bank. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, way down. Even with his big truck, he couldn't pull that little car out. But fortunately, somebody came along with a winch. But that guy couldn't pull him out either because it was so hard to pull, it would pull his truck over. But with the two trucks there, and this is a road that, I mean, you could drive this whole road and not see anybody. And especially on Christmas Day. And but here they were, and they, because everybody was there meeting at one time, they were able to pull him out, and he was able to get home. But I had seen that vehicle in the snow, stuck there. As soon as I woke up, that's what I saw. And according to them, that, you know, when they lost control on this icy hill that the sun hadn't been on, and it was all this hill, and they began to spin around, and there were two of them. And one of them said last night that he was actually afraid, and he, oh, Lord, you know, because they were going to go off the really steep side, which would have sent them rolling down a bunch of boulders. And flipping the vehicle, and just as they were about to go over, you could see the tires going over the edge. He felt like something pushed the car back the other way, and then it got pushed back again, but it kept wanting to go over that really steep edge, but they got pushed back again, and finally they went over the edge, the opposite edge, the edge that I saw them over, and you know, they stopped, and they didn't hit the trees. They just missed two trees, went between trees, and came right up. And but they couldn't get up. There's no way you could push that car up. I mean, it was almost flipping on the side of the steep bank. These are mountain roads, deep mountain roads. And but anyway, it all turned out. But my son was kind of surprised that when I said, "So where's he stuck?" I mean, we didn't even know he was coming home. I could tell him where he was stuck. How did I know that? How did I see that? I've been seeing things like that more and more and more. And I've seen things for years, and those of you. And I sometimes thought it was just, you know, my imagination. I see these scenarios, but why didn't I see it with this guy? And why, you know, I tell somebody, your house is going to burn. I'm just standing in their living room. I said, your house is going to burn down if you don't do something about that. within 30 days, the house burns down because they didn't do anything about that. I explained what that was. You know, I'm not condemning. I could see it. I could see it happening. I could see the flames. You know, that because I don't think in words so much. I think in, that was just why I'm so dyslexic. I think in things I see. I think in images. I don't know what I'm going to say until it comes out of my mouth or out of my fingertips. You know, when I read what I write, I think, oh, wow, that's interesting. You know, I guess that's where I'm hearing it the first time sometimes. Are you awakening? Do you feel lately, are you feeling an awakening? Because evil is afoot. Evil is awakening too, to the works of iniquity. And they're getting worse and worse. You need to awaken. You need to put on the full armor of God. And that is how, what Christ was teaching men. When he says disciples, he's talking about students who are learning. And they had the best teacher in the world. And they still took years to figure it out. They really didn't figure it out till the Holy Spirit came to them. And the Holy Spirit didn't come to them till they did a whole lot of repenting. And a whole lot of doing. And as the progress continued in the doing, they increased in power and glory of God working through them like water through a pipe. And that's where you need to be. You stop playing religion in your head. Stop thinking. Set aside your anger, your resentment towards the inhabitants of the land, towards the enemies of the way. It's not there. It's not in your rituals. It's not in your ceremonies. It's in doing the word of God, what he said to do. And Christians aren't doing what Jesus said to do, yet they say they're Christians. They are, you know, there were many Pharisees who repented. They were not far from the kingdom, but they were Pharisees. They were promoting the wrong way. They were going the wrong way. And they repented and turned around and became Christians. There were zealots who did the same. There were Sadducees who did the same. There were Essenes who did the same. And there were Romans who did the same. So will you repent? Will you be willing to see, whoa, my goodness, we've been going the wrong way. Not for 5 years, not for 20 years, not for 50 years, not for 100 years, but for maybe centuries. There are times in different periods of time where we awaken a little. And you have things like the Protestant Reformation. But just because they had that, what about your Reformation? Have you continued in the direction of the righteousness of God, or have you gone somewhere else? We'll talk about that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. Welcome back. Are you ready to awaken? Are you ready to see, to hear? Are you ready to repent? Are you ready to be forgiven? Then you need to get ready to forgive. Are you ready to receive? Then you better get ready to give. These are things that are inseparable in the ways of God. Proverbs 23:35 says, "They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Or will you seek to be awake again? Why was this said in Proverbs 23:35? Well, what was said in Proverbs 23:29? Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentious? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. What's mixed wine? That's impure religion. That's religion that is spotted by the world. Many people in America and around the world are extremely charitable. They are kind people. They help one another out. They care about their parents. But they mix the wine with that of this, the wine that will turn to sour grapes. Well, you know, there's a place where it talks about our fathers have eaten sour grapes and turned our teeth on edge. What is sour grapes? Grapes not yet ripe. They picked them too early. What is that? That's borrowed against the future. They did not keep the Sabbath. They did not work 6 days and then take their rest. They took their rest and owe 6 days of labor. You see the world doing this by trillions of dollars. You are in debt and you have become surety for debt. And yet you say, I am a Christian. I follow Christ. You do not follow Christ any more than the Pharisees followed Moses. Yet there were Pharisees who repented and followed Christ. You have need of repentance. So who hath woe? You have woe. Woe unto you. You have tarried too long at mixed wine, at the religion of governments and benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. Even though Christ said it was not to be that way with you, it is. Your parents are taken care of by men who exercise authority. Your children are taken care of by men who exercise authority. They're also taken care of by men who borrow money against the future of your children, which curses your children, which Peter warned you against. But it can't be, right? You go to church. You feel so good when you hear the music. Well, you're going to hear the music. You're dancing to a fiddler, to a Pied Piper of delusion, and you need to repent. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. At the last. And that last is coming. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, and as he that lieth upon the top of the mast. What happens when you're on the top of the mast? The swells are twice as much out there. You swing back and forth. Verse 35, they have stricken me. Shalt thou say, and I was not sick? There you go. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shalt I awake? I will seek it yet again. I know people that are not far from the kingdom of God who are going to vote for Bernie Sanders. And I really don't care who you vote for, because I know the change is not wrought in the vote. It's wrought in the heart, for the kingdom of God is in your heart. Is the kingdom of God in your heart, or are you strangling it out by going in unrighteous ways, by choosing other gods, by tarrying too long at the mixed wine? You know, somebody who's predicted the presidential elections way in advance every year. I can't remember who it was. It really doesn't matter. They could be wrong this year. But anyway, they're predicting that Bernie Sanders will be the next president of the United States, and they named the governor. And I don't even know who he is. But, you know, I've listened to Bernie Sanders a little bit. I mean, I don't follow politics because I know that's not where the answer is at. But, you know, I hear a little bit. And, you know, he's a total bleeding heart socialist who hasn't really thought it through what he's doing. He's like duped individual. He doesn't see but they're drunk on the idea of benefits. The government needs to provide all these benefits. And the government does need to provide those benefits. But if it's a government of God, it will do it through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. If it's a government of Satan, the adversary of God, he will do it through force, fear, and compliance. Yeah, that's the distinction. And so now you know. I don't care which way you go. You know, I'm in the sense that I'm not going to force you to follow Christ. I mean, how can I do that? I don't have that power. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to warn you so that you don't go over the cliff. You know, I might try to intervene a little bit, you know, run out there on the road and try to get you to steer away from it. But you have to make your own choices, because it's you that have to awaken. I cannot awaken for you. Verse 1 of the following, Proverbs 24. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Those who covet their neighbor's goods, don't desire to be with them. Don't be jealous of the fact that they can get free education and free health care and all this stuff. Don't be envious of them, even though they get all this stuff because they covet one another. Don't hate the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that they might be saved. We, if we come in the name of Christ, we need to be doing the same thing. How do we do that? Well, at least we ought to be setting an example. We should be gathering like the early church and showing them how it can work through the perfect law of liberty and faith, hope, and charity. But you are not doing that now, because you have not yet awakened. And we're going to show you eventually in this series how you can awaken and what will awaken you. I could hit you. I could, you know, shake you. And I may do that some. And I already done some of that today, telling you that you're not really a Christian. You're fooling yourself. You're under a strong delusion. Now, deep down in your heart, that's where Christianity really begins. You might be, but you have layers of falsities placed in your head, and your vanity keeps you clinging to them like a drowning man clinging to the wreckage of a sunken ship. You have to pry the stuff out of his hand to get him into a dry lifeboat. Because it has been his salvation, he doesn't want to let go of his false religion and practice pure religion. It's hard to do, but you have to do it. And with the grace of God, you will. But if you don't, how do you get the grace of God? You do not get the grace of God by loving those that love you. It says, what grace have you if you only love those who love you? Now, it's a good start to love those who love you. Love your children, love your wife, your husband. It's a start. But what grace does that get you if you only love those who love you? Can you love those who don't love you? That's why God sends you children who don't love you. So that you begin to learn. Now, then you step to learning to love your neighbor. And then you learn to love the Democrats and the socialists. And then you have to love the Muslims. Whoa, man. God is demanding as you have to love your enemy as yourself. Wow. You think that's hard now? Try that in a couple of years. If you're even still around. Be not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them or to eat at their table. Put a knife to your throat if you be a man of appetite. For their hearts studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Why am I flashing on Bernie Sanders when I say that? But, you know, I don't know who's going to be the up-and-coming runner on the Republican side. I could probably say the same. I could maybe even say it about the Libertarian. I don't know. I don't know who those guys are. But certainly with Bernie. And I don't want to pick on the guy. You know, he doesn't understand, you know, that he is studying destruction. And his lips are actually talking mischief. You know, this is the guy who thinks that Bill Clinton will eventually repent. It will be late when he does, but I think he will eventually repent. He's not ready yet, evidently. But we can hope. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. So now we're talking about building something, structure, a house. And that's what we're going to get into. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. A man of knowing. Do you know the ways of the kingdom? How you build the kingdom? How you build the structures of God? That set you free. I mean, I can show you how to build structures that bring you into bondage. That's what the book Covenants of the Gods is all about. Shows you how you get entangled again in the elements of the world. And you return to the bondage of Nimrod, the bondage of Babylon, mystery Babylon, all those things. And it's done because you reject God in your heart and your mind. And you don't even know it because you're professing God with your lips. But with your doing, you're actually rejecting God. And sometimes you're doing that because that's what you were taught. But now I'm here to show you something different. But you will not learn what I have to teach you unless you let the Holy Spirit write upon your heart and upon your mind. He won't do that unless you start forgiving and giving. You cannot be forgiven unless you forgive. It's not easy to forgive. I had a conference with somebody in a church recently. And they said, boy, once somebody offends me, I really have a hard time forgiving them. You know, I mean, that's the classic thing that stops you. It constipates you spiritually. You have to forgive. And you don't even know how to do it. You're so out of practice. But that's why you come together. Because you come together, you can fool yourself. You know, I can win every argument I have when I'm the only one there. You can do it too. If you go in your head and you argue, you will win every argument. Most people have defeated me in arguments after they left. Because then they rehearse it and then they only say their side and they don't see and then they forget what I said and then they think they won. It doesn't work that way. The truth is the truth. No matter what you imagine, your opinion is your opinion. God's opinion is the truth. So anyway, through wisdom is a house builded. The wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowing will increase in strength. He will begin to awaken and see things, and he will have an advantage. Everybody wants to. Somebody was asking me the other day about revelations. How, you know, what is revelation? This and that. That mean. You know, and I was telling them all kinds of things about revelations that most people don't even know, because they don't read it in the Greek. They don't know how it was written. And they come with all kinds of preconceived notions, and they're not listening to the Holy Spirit. They're reading and studying, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. But there's a lot more books in the Bible that will tell you about the future that are a lot less cryptic than and actually time pertinent than Revelations. But still, people always they're just infatuated with Revelations, you know. But because they want to know the future, because they want to get an edge, and that's, you want to know the future. You want to know what's happening far off, you know, you have to awaken. You have to see what's going on inside you. To clean the screen, clean the slate, so that God can reveal to you what you really need to know. And how you need to act, that ye may live. But now, you can't do this just to save yourself, because that isn't the nature of Christ. You have to have the nature of Christ, and Christ didn't come to save himself, he came to save others. Very important. So we're going to get into this structure. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. If that multitude includes the multitude of the Holy Spirit. If it includes the multitude of Satan, there is no safety. We're talking about the wise counselors of God. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. And we have lots of mischievous persons around today. They get elected in every nation because the hearts of the people are mischievous and covetous. The thought of foolishness is sin. What? Why was Saul called foolish? You've done this foolish thing. Your kingdom will not stand. He forced a sacrifice. That was the foolish thing. John the Baptist did not force sacrifices. He said, if you have two coats and your neighbor has none, share. He's talking charity here. We've gone out of America has gone out of the charity business in the earnestness that it used to be in America, which was taking care of all widows and orphans and needy of society through faith, hope, and charity. Taking care of most education, most health care through faith, hope, and charity. Not even insurance companies. Certainly not the government. You've changed the course of your nation, and you're headed over the rocky side of the road, where you will flip and die. And only God's holy angels will save you from that. But he will not persevere with you forever. The thought of foolishness is sin. The rejection of God is sin. The covetousness of your heart is sin. And the scorner is an abomination of men. That's what you are. You're an abomination to men. I said of men, to men. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Adversity is coming that would make a strong man faint, and you are not ready. You have time to get ready, but you have no time to waste. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death. Read that again. This is verse 11. You know, we're in Proverbs 24. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? You have to care about the Bernie Sanders and those people who elect Bernie Sanders and Barack Obamas, and you have to care about the Muslims, and you have to care about your enemy, even though they are drawn unto death. Even though they are ready to be slain. You have to care about them as much as you care about yourself. Because that is the nature of Christ. He cared about the world, as corrupt as it was, that it might be saved. That is his nature. That is his name. And if that is not the character you are coming in, then you are not coming in the name of Christ. Verse 13, my son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. What the heck is he talking about here? The sweet. You know, I faced a whole mob of people that wanted to kill every white man they could see. There was actually a riot going on in the middle of the street. The whole street became calm. They all gathered in a giant mass. Because there's white guys walking down the street. I had no idea what was going on. Fortunately, God has kept me ignorant. And they were like my protectors. Instead of killing me, they protected me. They guarded me. I had a huge guard on both sides that allowed me to pass. Unharmed. By the grace of God, not by my power, not by my might. Why don't you have that? Do you have a sweet heart? You know, when I beat you up with what I say, I'm doing it with a sweet heart. So shalt the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward. And thy expectation shall not be cut off. But you have to find that sweet heart. So anyway, are you ready? Well, I'm not ready yet. I'm not going to reveal this. I'll do it in the next show. But Isaiah 51:9, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as the ancient days in generations of old. Art thou not in that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? What is he talking about? Well, I'll let you figure that out. Isaiah 51:17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, double peace. That's what Jerusalem means, double peace, in your heart and in your mind. Your hand is a hand of peace, which has drunk the hand of the Lord. Awake, awake, he says in verse 52, verse 1, chapter 52. Awake, awake, put on the strength, O Zion, O Jerusalem. Are you ready? Let's do that next on Keys of the Kingdom. We'll be right back. Hang in there. Thank you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.